Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading this morning text 46. Looks like that bulb is out. Is it just the bulb is burned or the wire? Text 46, Canto 4, Chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. Taranam ramaniyangam arunote kshanadharam pranatashayanam ramnam sharanyam karunanavam Tarunam Ramaniyangam Arunotekshanadharam Pranatashayanam Nrimnam Sharanyam Karunaranavam Tarunam Joyful, Ramaniya, attractive, Angam, all parts of the body, Aruna Oshta, lips pinkish like the rising sun, Ikshana Adharam, eyes of the same nature. Pranata, one who is surrendered. Ashrayanam, shelter of the surrendered. Rimnam, transcendentally pleasing in all respects. Sharanyam, the person unto whom it is just worthy to surrender. Karuna, merciful like. Arnavam, the ocean. Translation, Narada Muni continued, the Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone has to surrender to someone superior. That is always the nature of our living condition. At the present moment, we are trying to surrender to someone, either to society or to our nation, family, state, and government. The surrendering process already exists, but it is never perfect because the person or institution unto whom we surrender is imperfect. And our surrender, having so many ulterior motives, is also imperfect. As such, in the material world, no one is worthy to accept anyone's surrender, nor does anyone fully surrender to anyone. unless obliged to do so. But here, the surrendering process is voluntary, and the Lord is worthy to accept the surrender. This surrender by the living entity occurs automatically as soon as he sees the beautiful, youthful nature of the Lord. Paragraph. The description given by Narada Muni is not imaginary. The form of the Lord is understood by the Parampara system. Mayavadi philosophers say that we have to imagine the form of the Lord. But here, Narada Muni does not say that. Rather, he gives the description of the Lord from authoritative sources. He himself is an authority, and he is able to go to the Vaikuntha Loka and see the Lord personally. Therefore, his description of bodily features of the Lord is not imagination. In the very next sentence, Prabhupada speaks about himself. Sometimes we give instructions to our students about the bodily features of the Lord, and they paint him. Their paintings are not imaginary. The description is given through disciplic succession, just like that given by Narada Muni, who sees the Lord and describes his bodily features. Therefore, such descriptions should be accepted. And if they are painted, that is not imaginative painting. End of purport. So now that you know what the verse is, we will recite the Sanskrit again. Picture the form of the Lord as it's being described. Tarunam Ramani Yangam Anutekshan Nadharam Pranatashrayanam Nrimnam Sharanyam Karunaranavam. The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and his lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. And anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. So this is the object of meditation that Narada is training Dhruva to perform. From yesterday, it's not meditation on something impersonal, it's meditation on the personal form of the Lord. And two paragraphs with two main points in the purport. One is the surrendering process. By seeing such form, one feels inspired to surrender. And anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. He's the shelter of the surrendered. Ashrayanam Sharanyam, who is worthy to surrender unto. And seeing his beautiful form inspires one in that way. Okay, so what are we to do? Because we don't have that capacity. I guess we just don't surrender, right? No. We have agents of the Supreme Lord, like Narada or Dhruva, and here Srila Prabhupada is referring to himself, where his descriptions given to artists and they create paintings. The painting is not imaginative, the description is not imaginative. The form of the Lord is then seen and may inspire one. Similarly, the deity, form of the Lord. And one can be inspired seeing the beautiful form of the deity and serve that beautiful form of the deity in a mood of surrender, and lo and behold, there's reciprocation, because the deity form of the Lord, or the painting form of the Lord, is not something imaginary or something simply material. The science of why deity worship is valid is a nice science. And we don't have to be scientists in order to do deity worship. But for a person that's not so clear about, hey, what's going on, there's a science to it. And explained over and over and over again that the elements of creation are the Lord's elements, his energies, and through the manifestation of his energies, he can manipulate his energies or move his energies, or through the agency of his energies, he can make himself visible, especially for the unfortunate souls that don't have spiritual quality. He can make himself visible for them. And deity worship is one of those manifestations. Authorized by scripture, as Prabhupada is pointing to the description of Narada, is not imaginary. There's descriptions found in scripture and he's simply repeating them. Or in Narada's case, he sees the Lord and he's describing, this is what he looks like, and this is his nature. And this is what happens when you see him. There's a very beautiful description in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, many of them, one where Gopakumar is escorted by the Vaikunthavasis to the gates of Vaikuntha. And they go inside, you wait at the gate here, we'll go inside and see if the Lord will grant you audience. Don't go away. So he's waiting at the gate and he sees these incredibly beautiful forearm forms coming towards the gate, and he runs and pays obeisances before them, and my Lord Narayan. You say, no, no, no. We're just the servant of the servant. Oh. But be patient. The Lord will surely give you his audience. And that goes on many times. The next person that comes is even more beautiful. And, oh, Narayan. No, 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 no. Finally, there's so many things, different forms besides forearm forms, forms of persons who were, according to when they left their body in the material world, they carried a certain form. They saw the Lord and they continue in that form, that spiritual realm. And then when the Lord grants audience, so they're coaching him. Here's what you're supposed to do. We know that you're a little spontaneous, but what you're supposed to do is you fold your hands like this and you don't raise your voice and you come before the Lord and offer suitable prayers. Okay, you got it? So as Gopakumar comes before the Lord, he sees the Lord sitting on his opulent throne. And he calls out and starts running, Madan Gopal! Running, running, running. And it's like really disturbs the Vaikuntha mood, like anything. And Lord Narayan comes off his throne and comes in. As Madan Gopal, as Gopal Kumar is running towards him, Madan Gopal faints. And the Lord picks him up and holds him. And everyone's, get rid of this guy. You spoiled the Vaikuntha mood. Just by seeing the Supreme Lord, his beautiful form, Narada is saying, one becomes very inspired. So we don't see the form, we can meditate upon the form. Now the next paragraph is, Mayavadis say, imagine some form. I mean, they're explicit. It really doesn't matter. Take this one, take that one. There's, pick from one of five. It doesn't matter. Whatever your heart's inspired. Fine. Because know that behind that form is, guess what? The formless. This is just functionary. You do this for a while, and then you go to the real deal. Impersonal Brahman. And they're explicit about it. This is for people who are a little weak. It's okay, you're a little weak. Take a form, pick one. And then imagine that form for a while, and then, you know, you get out of the soup of the lower modes of nature, you get in these higher material modes of nature, and then you can transcend. And then you can throw the deity away. And they have ceremonies for throwing the deities away. Now I've become liberated. So the form is not like that Narada is describing. It's his direct experience. It's directly from the authority of the scripture. And by such meditation, one becomes very, very pleased and wants to serve the Lord, which is the intent of the meditation process, is to come to that position in pure spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, wishing to serve the Supreme Lord. It's a means to achieve that goal. And another point is that the Lord is worthy of one's surrender. He's faultless, he's an ocean of mercy, and so there's no good reason not to. Except that one doesn't want to let go of the false sense of independence. That's a bad reason not to. But there's no good reason not to. And part of the reason people don't, besides they don't want to let go of their independence, is where do I surrender? I mean, my experience, Prabhupada writes, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, the verse from Bhagavad Gita, person's fear is, oh my goodness, I've had so much difficulty in this world due to the fact that I have a personality and others have a personality, we clash. And now you're telling me in the spiritual world there's personality, oh. I gotta surrender. Oh. Because of that bad experience, one is reluctant or unwilling to accept the position. However, it's our natural position. It's our constitutional position of the soul. And to be in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, and that relationship is one, is He's the Master and we're the servant. And We surrender to Him and we serve Him. But if you don't have the notion of mercy, you have something else, then you have a bad experience and they don't want to surrender. Very cautious. But is our constitutional position. And Prabhupada writes, the surrender by the living entity occurs automatically as soon as he sees the beautiful, youthful nature of the Lord. Well, that's if there's not an inimical spirit towards him. Kamsa saw, the washerman saw, Shishupal saw, Duryodhana saw. But their spirit was so inimical that they had to be relieved of their misfortune in some other way by the Lord's mercifully delivering them. But particularly for someone who is not of that grossly inimical spirit, seeing the beautiful form of the deity, seeing so many beautiful paintings of the artists that have rendered beautiful paintings of Krishna, it inspires a desire to serve him and appreciate his beauty. So this is, in effect, what Narada is doing with Dhruva. He's preparing him, he's giving him the means, but he's also inspiring his heart to go the path of spiritual perfection. And there's a few more verses of Narada describing the beautiful form of the Lord upon which Dhruva is to meditate. And there, see if there's any discussion. Yeah?
Thank you, Maharaj. I had a question about surrender. How can we understand that we're actually surrendering? Because Prabhupada is making this point that we don't really surrender anyway. And sometimes it happens when we accept certain services, which seems to be of a little bit difficult nature. We feel that we are surrendering. And it, as, of course, it may be a certain level of surrender. But how do we know that we're really surrendering and not getting deceived?
Okay. Nice question. The question is, how do we know if we're surrendering? And an example was, there may be some service that is difficult for us to perform and we somehow manage to perform it. How do we measure the element of surrender in our devotional service? A few things. One is that, like faith compared to bhakti or devotion, they're incrementally increasing. There's not like there's a meter that says, you know, okay, now you have bhakti, or now you have faith, or now you have surrender. It's surrender is a component of devotion or devotional service to Krishna, and it grows and it grows and it grows. At what point is there no more growth of surrender or increase of surrender? There isn't, any more than there's a limit beyond which, I mean, there's no further expansion of devotion or further expansion of faith or further expansion of surrender. So it's an incrementally increasing thing. What was our capacity yesterday may not be our capacity today. Or using the example that Prabhupada gives, what Krishna is interested is not seeing what you're giving to him, but what you're holding back. So surrender is, I can be giving something, but also holding back. And then increase and holding back less and giving more. And when capacity to give more increases, so that also is given and so on. It's ever increasing. Another consideration is the modes of nature. It's like charity is, in the mode of ignorance, is given begrudgingly. In the mode of passion, is given with a calculation that I'll gain something by giving in charity. And then charity in the mode of goodness is to the right recipient in the right circumstance with the right mood. That is truly beneficial for the other being and so on. So surrender can also be begrudgingly or with the calculation that by this surrender I'm going to gain that or the passion. And surrender because it will purify me if I surrender. Or I'm supposed to surrender and so I surrender. And then there's transcendental surrender. It's just loving. So there are different measures of, according to the influence of the modes of nature, what surrender is. To do even the simplest thing, there's some degree of surrender. Even unknowing devotional service. You know, if one is very unfortunate, one will say no. I remember Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj describing how he became a devotee, and he was working somewhere in London, and the devotees would go on Harinam Sankirtan. So when he saw them, he'd cross the street and go on the other side of the street so he wouldn't have to interact with them. I forget how it happened that he felt, my, that's strange, you know how he speaks. So one can try to avoid even unknowingly being benefited. So there's some surrender in even, you know, unknowingly giving some assistance to the devotees or something like that. And then there's knowingly, and then there's, so there's degrees of surrender. So how to measure surrender, the standards are there. There's six items of, or angas of surrender. And we can look and see how we're doing in those areas. Accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. You know, rank yourself from 1 to 10 and see what the score is. And Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. Humility. Full offering of everything. Body, mind, and words fully offered in the Lord's service. So there are items of surrender. We can look at them. But it sounds like the question you're asking is, when we're doing something that is difficult, we're undertaking something that's difficult, but it's a service that seems to be being asked of me, or that Krishna wants me to do, and so I'm taking it up. On the one hand, how much is it being done simply dutifully and perhaps even a little begrudgingly, and on the other hand, joyfully, because Krishna is very kindly giving me the service. Like Janmashtami is coming, and for Janmashtami there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that everybody has to do to, you know, get, have a nice Janmashtami festival. So it can be with the most jubilant heart that we're going to make a wonderful festival for Krishna, for Kishore Kishori on Janmashtami day, the 40th year celebration. Or, oh, you know, go down begrudgingly, or we'll make some profit from this, or, you know, it really should be done, Prabhupada, you know, our scriptures enjoin that we should do this, to have a nice festival for Janmashtami. There's degrees of surrender in all of them. But we would like our surrender to be that platform of love, or at least moving towards the platform of love. Just spiritual master, like, you know, we don't hear of Narada Muni sitting down and have a fire yajna and initiating Dhruva. He's instructing him, and similarly we also interact with people, and in that way, by interacting with people, repeating instructions that we've heard, we're acting in that capacity of some level, and the some level is dependent upon our capacity. That when there's this phrase from the scripture, as a bird can only fly as high as his capacity, so I, as a servant of the Lord, offer my service unto him according to the capacity he bestows upon me. And there's some birds that can, Prabhupada speaks of vultures. I've never seen it, but he says, you know, miles in the air. There's some birds that where I'm staying, they it looks like an airplane, but it's not. It's a bird. It's, you know, way up there. And some can't go way up there. But they're way up there. I don't know what they're doing way up there. But so each of us, according to our capacity, that's the surrender that's required, that we utilize the capacity that Krishna has provided us, and we at least we try to, according to our capacity, use whatever Krishna has given us sincerely, and simply pray that he accepts that service. Now, from the other side, let's say, you know, someone's coming to the temple and you're sitting and speaking with them. And however much faith is inspired by them in you is how much you will be able to assist them to progress. And different persons have a greater ease or greater difficulty in extending faith. And from our side, it's the same point as Prabhupada is making in the purport here. From our side, we have lesser or greater degree of being worthy of faith, depending upon our purity. So, the program for each of us is to become pure. Purity is the force. So at what point is there purity bell that rings? Okay, you hit the grade. You can receive our guests now. We're undertaking this service for purification. And to the degree to which there's genuine purity, there's not, it's the converse is stated where there is a mix of motivation. Something. I'm gathering followers, or I get some bhakta points in the bhakta newsletter, or something. Okay. Yes.
Probably increasingly our capacity and our lack of discrimination, because I can at least speak for myself alone. Sometimes you feel like you're a lot of stuff is to your capacity, but
a lot of stuff is
up to your capacity, but it's really maybe lack of discrimination. So I was supposed to determine this one's capacity before and lack of discrimination.
A short answer is self-evaluation is always valuable. And you can look at all those different measures, and as you're moving along, it's not like, let me check out a devotional service and put on a sincerity measure and a determination. You know, but we it's like, you know, chanting japa. We want a nice standard of focused attention upon the chanting of the holy name, and it moves a lot. And so also, like this question you're raising, we want to keep our attentiveness in the holy name. We want to keep the measures of approach to devotional service to our capacity, and knowing that we're not, because we're complacent, we're lazy, and so on, just rebellious. So just, if I've understood your question correctly, I'm not sure I have, but in principle we should always be, in a broad sense, evaluating and trying to move closer to the standard of pure devotional service, knowing that we're not there yet. Is that address your question? Okay. Anything else? Yeah?
There was a point that beauty and glory inspired service, compels all of them to do service, and that is for different people in the temple, like doing service with the deity. I guess it's based on some sort of attraction.
Based on some sort of attraction, one has to.
One is compelled to do service to the deity. So.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be, you know, I understand it's good for me. Or it can be, you know, I'll get some special distinction if I go up there on the altar and serve the deity. There's modes of nature that act.
Based on the question, because the attraction, like a pure order, would have
towards the deity is different than what someone who has material conception.
Sure.
So
sure.
To what extent is it dangerous to cultivate like a sentimental attachment to the deity?
Well, you're guided by scripture, then you're in the safe zone. Okay. Sometimes.
Why is it essential to go beyond these?
Why is it
essential to go beyond either of the kind
of? Oh, because you won't reach Krishna otherwise. The verse is saying, only one who has overcome these can attain me. Raga, Bhaya, and Krodha. One has gone beyond them can attain Krishna. So, you know, they're generic and there's, you know, different varieties under those generic three categories. So, they're stumbling blocks, you know, big stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service to reach Krishna. Going back to how Prabhupada is saying is that surrendering is there anyway because it's part of our constitutional position. So if we're not going to surrender unto Krishna, then we'll surrender it to something else because that's our constitutional nature. So we'll take shelter of something else. I didn't know this before. This morning heard Prabhupada saying that our Fisher Mansion, the gentleman that built the Fisher Mansion, he was not theistic and he didn't marry. So what he did was, when it was, he left in his will all of his property to his dog. And on the property there's a tomb for the dog. I've never seen the tomb for the dog at the Fisher Mansion, but because it's our nature. So we'll miss a golden opportunity to attain our shelter. Maybe take shelter of a golden retriever. Or something else that's illusory and not satisfying. All right. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.